This is Ethan Krueger for Effingham Radio News. Today I am joined in the studio by State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. How are you today, sir?
Ethan, a pleasure to be here today. It's a great day.
Excellent. Thank you for stopping by. Now, it seems like an ongoing topic is iCash. Now, I think a lot of people actually don't know what that is.
Would love to explain. I, as a state treasurer, am in charge of unclaimed property. This is money that a company had that belongs to Illinois citizens. If they can't get it to the citizens, they turn it over to us, and it's our job. So we market this. You might see in your newspapers a list of people with unpaid property. We send letters to people. We put it on our database on our webpage. We encourage people to go to illinoistreasurer.gov. Click on iCash. You can check and see if you have something that belongs to you, to your parents, to your in-laws, or your family members.
Sure. Now, so who are some people who are generally going to be eligible for these things? Could it be anyone?
It could be anyone. We find that about 1 in 4 people in the state who check our website find we have something that belongs to them, and the average amount is about $1,000. So these are properties were owed to someone who was living in Illinois. If you just moved to Illinois in the last few months, chances are we don't have something for you. But if you had family that lived here 20 years ago, is now living out of state, you can check for them on their behalf. I'm sure they would love to hear from their friends and family telling them that we have money that belongs to them.
I need to get on there at some point and check that out.
I came into this office and I thought, I keep track of my money. I don't lose track of my money. And on my first day in office, they had a claim form sitting on my desk saying, Treasurer, you're in charge of this policy, this program. You should actually take your money. Someone tried sending me money by PayPal years ago. Maybe had a wrong email address or maybe got put into spam, but I never saw it. PayPal doesn't get to keep that money. They turned it over to the treasurer's office and got it to me.
So really, it could be anyone. The best thing to do is just go on that website and check to see if you're on there.
Yeah, frequently we find things in safety deposit boxes from people who have passed away. So we have stuff that belongs to their heirs, their children are unaware of it. We have people who work a job and that last paycheck after they leave never gets into their hands. We have insurance companies that have rebates that don't get cashed. Those things eventually come to us, and it's our job to safeguard over $2 billion. And we would like to get it into the hands of your listeners because we think that if we get that money into their wallets and their bank accounts, it will do more good for their families, for their communities, for our state than it does sitting in my vault in Springfield.
Absolutely. Now, recently the governor signed some new legislation that you kind of spearheaded, and it kind of baffles my mind that insurance companies were able to get away with this. But can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. When I came in, we discovered that there are some insurance companies that don't do a great job of notifying the beneficiaries that the policyholders had policies naming them. Now, they say, well, if they don't approach us and tell us that they had a policy, how are we supposed to know? But I had someone at one of our task force hearings say, if you lent me money and I knew I owed it to you, but you never asked for it back, and so I thought that was my excuse to never give it to you, you'd probably question my integrity. And I think when people enter into an agreement with a life insurance company, they do that not because they want to make some insurance executive rich. They do it because they want to take care of some loved one in their life. And with most contracts we sign, if you don't uphold your end of the bargain, I have redress. I can take you to court. But this is one of those contracts that it only is payable after I have died. I can't hold you accountable. And so that's why I sort of view my role as the person in charge of unclaimed property as making sure we keep these insurance companies honest and that they honor the last wishes of the deceased.
Now, does this tie into the iCash program in any way, shape, or form?
Exactly. We're able to do this because we believe that if you take out a life insurance policy and you die, that money then no longer belongs to the insurance company. It belongs to your beneficiaries. And if the insurance company doesn't get it to your beneficiaries, we will in the treasurer's office. Now, we don't want it to come to us. We want it paid out to their loved ones in a timely manner when they're grieving and when they need it the most. So we pushed legislation this year the governor just recently signed that will mandate life insurance companies will have to check their policyholders twice a year against the death master file to see if any of them have died. If they have, they have to make a good faith effort to reach out to the beneficiaries and notify them that someone wanted to take care of them.
Now, kind of put you on the spot with the nitty-gritty of the bill. How does the state enforce that kind of thing?
So the same way we enforce other unclaimed properties, we have sent auditors out to companies. And if they have money on their books that doesn't belong to them, belongs to our citizens, then they turn that over to us. Now, we also have insurance companies regulated by the Department of Insurance, and Department of Insurance auditors also go into insurance companies. And so we think that once they know it's the law, they're going to follow this, and we have ways to keep them honest.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, kind of going along with the iCash thing as well, as I understand at the Illinois State Fair here in the past couple of weeks, you guys did your first live unclaimed property auction in a while.
Yeah, this was something that Judy Bar Topinka had done. She did it at the State Fair. It attracted a lot of attention. People had a great time, and Judy loved the State Fair. So when I came in, some people asked me, are you going to bring back the auctions that Judy used to do? And I really thought an awful lot of Judy Bar Topinka. We talked to our staff. We thought this was something we could do. It was a great success. A lot of people came out. It was a fun time to be part of a live auction.
I saw some interesting items that sold on there. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Well, our biggest selling auction is probably the one that seemed to be worth the least amount. We sold a penny for over $9,000.
Tell me, it has to have been a rare penny.
It is a very rare penny.
Okay.
It is an 1856 Flying Eagle penny. These, there were only 2,000 of them minted. They were given away to members of Congress and dignitaries. There are only about 500 or 600 in existence. And this was the first year that the pennies were minted in the current penny size. So if you're a collector, this is a real rare find. 1 cent went for over $9,000. We had a $1,000 bill that only went for $2,200.
Now, was that bill significant in some way, shape, or form, or was it just literally just a $1,000 bill?
It's a $1,000 bill, but we've not printed any $1,000 bills since 1945.
Okay, I did not know that.
So they're sort of rare. We don't make them anymore. We haven't had them for a long time, and you know they don't stick around as easily as coins do. Well, they deteriorate more rapidly, and so it is a fairly rare thing to find. It still has a cash value of $1,000, but someone asked me, could I cash this bill? I said, you could. But you would be a fool to do that because it's worth far more than its face value.
Right, right. It is kind of hard if, you know, you just grab a $1,000 bill from the bank, go to the store and, you know, break that, you know. Can you break $1,000 for me today? Yeah. Now, another program that you guys have that we wanted to highlight here is the College Savings Program. What is that?
So we are in charge of 529 college savings programs. We help families put aside money so that they're prepared when their kids go to college. It's an investment vehicle. You can save money. You can invest it in the growth in those accounts. It's tax-free as long as it's used for education-related expenses. But I can tell you with the way college tuition costs have gone up over the last two decades, people are going to be need to saving a lot. You know, students are graduating under a mountain of debt, over $1 trillion in student loan debt. Just a few years ago, total student loan debt surpassed total credit card debt in this country. It's a real problem for a lot of young people, and we want to make sure that their parents are saving in advance. But also, the simple act of creating a college savings account sets expectations for young people that they're college material, that someone believes in them and they're investing in them. And what that means is kids don't want to disappoint. They don't want to let their parents down. If you set high expectations, they tend to reach them. So we're trying very hard to get as many of these accounts open as possible.
I know all about that, Mike. Now, can I call you Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my name.
Now, how early should, you know, like, let's say you are, you know, maybe young parents, how early should you start saving up for college?
Well, we recommend, you know, there's no day like the present to start. If you can start putting money aside when your kid is born, if you don't do it then, remember when you send your kid off to kindergarten. It's a nice reminder that, hey, this is their first day of school, but it's not going to end with 12th grade. We want and expect more from our young people. And we wanted to make sure that when families are saving money, when they're putting it aside and they're seeing growth, that they're not siphoning too much of that off into fees for big banks. So when I came in, one of our two contracts was up. We put out an RFP. We negotiated very strenuously, and we found for the families of Illinois a 57% reduction in fees. That means an awful lot more of their money is actually going to go towards their kids' college expenses rather than making some banker richer. And we were rewarded at a time when Illinois' credit rating has gone down and down and down. We were rewarded with a credit rating upgrade from Morningstar Rating Services. So we've been very excited about this. We've increased the number of account holders out there and decreased the amount families are paying.
Very cool. Now, I believe I saw a link for this program on your website. Is that the best way to find out more information on it?
Yeah, the easiest way for people to remember is you can go to illinoistreasurer.gov. Illinoistreasurer, one word, .gov. From there, you can click on iCash to find out about our unclaimed property. You can go to our college savings plans, our 529 plans, Bright Start or Bright Directions, if you'd like to start an account for some young person in your life. You can start it for a child, or grandchild, a niece or a nephew, someone that you want to make an investment in.
Very good. Now, if citizens want to get in touch with you or your staff, how can they do so?
Once again, the best way is through our website. From there, you can find contact information, illinoistreasurer.gov. You can send us an email. You can give us a phone call. We are here to help. And we have civic engagement staff whose job it is to go out and to work with citizens of the state, to go attend events, to help them find money that belongs to them, and help them start saving and investing in themselves.
All righty. Once again, this is Ethan Krueger for Effingham Radio News, speaking to State Treasurer Michael Ferricks. Thank you for your time today, sir.
Ethan, pleasure to be here. I look forward to coming back.